So I want to ask you a couple questions about checkpoint inhibitors in other cancers, get a little bit of your take on that, beginning with endometrial cancer. Can you talk a little bit about how you integrate checkpoint inhibitors into the management of the disease?
So certainly, as you know, all patients with endometrial cancer will undergo some type of mismatch repair testing. Our hospital does it through MMR-IHC. That's a great way to screen for Lynch, and it also identifies patients who might benefit from a checkpoint inhibitor. So for patients who have recurrent disease, to me, that's a really big distinction. Mismatch repair deficient, mismatch repair proficient. If they're deficient and they've got recurrent disease right away, I usually start the checkpoint inhibitor after carboplatin paclitaxel. The package insert does say after all available therapies, then to use the checkpoint blockade. If for some reason the patient refuses carboplatin paclitaxel, or there's just, if there's some contraindication, then I'm okay about using pembrolizumab. And I've had some really remarkable responses. So I absolutely believe that these drugs really can change the natural history of this cancer. In mismatch repair proficient tumors, we are with chemotherapy, and obviously the pembrolizumab lenvatinib approval has come through as well. Tougher regimen, lenvatinib is tougher at a dose of 20 milligrams. So that's always in our back pocket now, and it's nice to have options finally for patients with recurrent endometrial cancer. But I also think that there are other avenues. So, for example, if there's a patient with a grade one endometrioid tumor and she's got lung metastases and you show that the tumor is estrogen receptor positive, then some type of hormonal therapy can really be quite active as well. You don't really necessarily have to even use chemotherapy, certainly things like the tamoxifen-megace regimen, or if patients can't tolerate the megace, then I'll just use a single agent aromatase inhibitor.
Interesting. You brought up the issue of some of these great responses that you're seeing, and I'm curious about the issue of stopping checkpoint inhibitors.
Yeah.
So you kind of referred to that with this other patient, but this comes up in every situation where checkpoint inhibitors are used. There are trials, as you were saying, where this is prescribed. But I'm curious, outside a protocol setting, do you think about stopping and at what point?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, it's still unfortunately the rare time where someone's on the drug for such a long period of time where either they don't get disease progression, or they don't get some, and or they don't get some terrible toxicity that makes you take them off. I have a patient who's had a great response to pembrolizumab, but she's really been life altered with colitis because of it. And I have a patient right now who came to me truly in a wheelchair because of the level of retroperitoneal adenopathy that she had and pelvic adenopathy. It's been transformative using pembrolizumab. I mean, she's kayaking, she's working, and she's coming up on 2 years. And she really wants to stop. She really wants to stop. So for me, it's basically trying to say, you know what, let's get you to 2 years. Not that that's anything magical. Each scan looks a little tiny bit better. So I'm pushing her to go at least to 2 years and then probably stopping it then, really because she's driving me to stop.
Another question I want to ask you is, just very recently, there was FDA approval of giving pembrolizumab every 6 weeks. Any thoughts about that? Is that kind of where you're now heading?
Yeah, I think even if we weren't in the middle of the COVID pandemic, I think bringing patients in for fewer visits, fewer infusions is always a good thing. I have a patient right now who developed pneumonitis, pretty significant pneumonitis because of pembrolizumab, and her pneumonitis is resolved. And our pulmonologist really did not want me to go back because the FDA approval just happened. So he was worried about using a higher dose and maybe risking reactivation of the pneumonitis. But I think, yeah, my lady who's kayaking, who was in a wheelchair, was delighted to hear that she will only have to see me now every 6 weeks as opposed to every 3 weeks. So yeah, no, I think it's a great thing. Patients don't have to come in and see us as often.